Well, praise the Lord. I must say it is exciting to sing about that place that the Lord is preparing for His people that love Him. Praise our God. Oh, we have such a hope. And you know, it's not just us. This has been the hope of the church through the ages, God's people, that hope that we had that someday we would forever be with the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It gives us strength. Oh, yes, to want to go forward and to get to that destiny. And I just can't help but think when we sing of this, you know, it's going to be so worth it. We go through these times, as you know, that song just, you know, brought out, you know, the times of disappointment and all those things where oh my, the sun isn't shining, so to speak. But praise the Lord, we know that there's a bright day coming, a new day coming. Oh, yes, and that's where our thoughts are. That's where our hearts are. Praise the Lord, that city where the Lamb is the light. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise our God. I'm very glad to be here tonight. So thankful that we have this opportunity to open up His Word, see what the Lord might show us here tonight. Oh, praise our God. We're going to pray as we begin here. Oh, praise the Lord. Please pray with me as we join here together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You again for these moments. We thank You that we can put our hope, our trust, our faith in Thee, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord, we know, oh, God, there is none like unto Thee, Lord. And, oh, there are no promises like Your promises, Lord. Oh, God, we're so thankful that we can look to Thee and live, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord, that we can set our affections on things that are above and not on things of this world. Oh, God, we can look for that city where moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. Oh, God, and I just pray that our treasure would be in heaven, Lord. Oh, God, that You'd put our hearts in that place, Lord. And, oh, God, I pray that You'd help us now as we walk this road. Oh, God, oh, Lord, only You know what is before us, Lord. Only You know, Lord. But, oh, God, we know beyond a doubt that You are with us, Lord. You are here to meet the needs of Your people, Lord. Oh, God, You are here, oh, Lord, to lead us, to guide us, to give us deliverance. Oh, God, to bring forth healing, Lord. Oh, God, to show forth Your saving hand. Oh, Lord Jesus, and I pray that You'd work tonight. Oh, God, I pray that You would work. Oh, God, I pray that Your will would be done. Oh, God, we know that we need You, Lord, as we look to Thee and live, oh, Lord Jesus, and we look to You, knowing, oh, God, there are no answers but in Thee, Lord Jesus. I just pray, oh, God, that You'd use this word, oh, God, that it would have free course. Oh, God, that You take it where it needs to go, Lord. And, oh, God, You show us the things that we need to see. Oh, God, let our attention be on Thee, Lord. Oh, God, that the devil be rebuked in all the mundaneness of this world, oh, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, that, oh, Lord, You'd help us, Lord. Oh, God, help us to get our hearts in heavenly places, Lord. Oh, God, help us to have faith, to believe Thee, Lord. Faith, oh, Lord, to realize that You're here to meet every need, Lord. If we could just, oh, Lord, grasp Thy goodness, Thy willingness, Thy mercy, Lord. I pray that You'd work here in Jesus' name by the power of the blood, Lord. Give me words, oh, God, that come from You, Lord. Help me to know where to go with this scripture. Give us, oh, Lord, oh, God, the understanding that we need, oh, Lord. For we seek Thee, we ask, oh, Lord, for Thy strength in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood in Jesus' precious name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, thank You, Lord. Oh, God, be with Your people. Oh, God, lift us up in heavenly places. Oh, God, answer the cries of the hearts. Oh, Lord Jesus, move in a mighty way, I ask here tonight, Lord, for You know the needs. Oh, God, in Jesus' name I ask. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, God. I give this to You and ask You to use me in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord Jesus. We've been having this ongoing study, 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, and of course, there's many other places to go to explain this chapter. But praise the Lord. We're going to begin here tonight I feel like this is a really essential message, I believe. Oh boy. It's a waste. Oh my Lord, it's quite the assignment. But I thank God because I know as I study it, I see more and more. So we're living this life right now and we're seeing the things that we're seeing and I'm beginning to understand. You know, we're in the book of Revelation. And oh my, I think the Lord would have us to have some insight into the things that we are in the midst of. And yes, soon we'll be seeing for all we know. And you know, we're not going to know precisely and exactly, but praise the Lord. We know that we can have confidence in God's word. And if we can just keep our minds in God's word, we're going to make it home one of these days. Praise the Lord, we're going to overcome this world. Praise the Lord, with the help of the Lord. Oh yes, the world, the flesh, and the devil, these things that try to devour us and bring us down. But praise the Lord, we put our hope, our confidence in God. And we are trusting in Him to bring us to that day. Oh yes, that day of eternal life. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise God. I am going to go to Luke, the 19th chapter, to begin here tonight. And I do want to say, Jesus very often talked about his return, his second return. So many parables relate to this. And obviously, you know, though Jesus was with them at that moment, he was also very focused on his return. It's pretty amazing, but we know that with the Lord, you know, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are but a day. Interesting. So, praise the Lord. I think that sort of fits. Come to think of it, but praise our God. Let's go to Luke 19, and I want to share one of Jesus' parables tonight. I want us to look at the order of events, because I believe Jesus was telling this to indicate the manner of his coming, and details that would be very relevant in our need as we walk with the Lord right now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's begin with verse 11 here as we start this subject here tonight. Praise the Lord. We still will be going to 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, Lord willing, and see just how the Lord directs. Praise the Lord. Verse 11. Luke 19, praise God. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And praise the Lord, let's just get that straight. This is, you know, a thing. The Jews had this millennial concept. And anyway, you know, they were hoping that, you know, the Messiah would come and deliver them from human bondage. They were looking for a kingdom likened unto Solomon's reign, you could say, but maybe even better for all they expected. But, you know, they were looking for this with their eyes, their carnal eyes in reality. And so many of them, as they witnessed Jesus' events, his healings, his miracles, oh my, all the mighty deliverances that he did, his teachings. They were also focused on the fact that, you know, they were anticipating a deliverer to redeem them, to bring them out of their bondage to the Romans, and to bring about the kingdom of God. And so they thought it should immediately appear, so many of them. But I've got another plan. And, you know, before I read just a little bit more, let's just turn back a page or two, depending on your Bible, to the 17th chapter of the book of Luke, because it came up again in the 17th chapter. And I just want to read a few verses, as you know, before I go into the rest. Praise the Lord. Luke 17, verse 20. It says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, generally if you're thinking of, you know, a conqueror coming to this world, you know, you would see it with your eyes. You would see it with observation. But there is a point that Jesus was bringing out because they had not understood that the kingdom that he was bringing forth was not a physical kingdom. It would not be one that they could observe with their eyes. But he was bringing forth a spiritual kingdom. And yes, he declared in that 21st verse here of Luke 17, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Praise the Lord. Oh, that was certainly something that was not understood at that moment. In fact, if we turn to the book of John here, the 18th chapter. Oh, Jesus there before Pilate. Oh, and let's just read this too. John 18, verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? It must have been so puzzling for Pilate. I mean, here was this man, and I would think that Pilate has certainly heard of some of Jesus's miracles and teachings. And here he was, his own people had betrayed him and delivered him unto Pilate. And what in the world? How do you explain this? But Jesus said here in John 18, verse 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Oh, praise the Lord. And of course, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Oh, I believe Pilate knew. Oh, yes, there was something beyond the normal with Jesus Christ. Oh, I believe he knew it. And here he's calling him the king of the Jews. I believe Pilate knew it in his heart. But oh, his own people, verse 40, they cried. Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Oh my, such a story. Who would ever believe it? One so kind, so loving, so gentle, so amazing would be delivered unto the death of the cross. Oh my, but oh yes, he did so. But thank God the grave could not hold him. And thank God he ascended back into heaven. We know that he is coming back again. And this time there will be no doubt. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. Oh, yes, there'll be no denying it at that moment when he returns to this earth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, praise God. Let's go back to Luke 19 here. Okay, so yes, that thought, you know, the kingdom of God should immediately appear, you know, when are you bringing it? Jesus, if you are the king. But he told this parable. We look at verse 12 here in Luke 19. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, ye have 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one that hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those, mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Okay, here is that parable. And let's just look at the details here. Initially, we have Jesus talking about a certain nobleman, and of course, he's really referring to himself. Yeah, and he's telling the fact that, you know, here's a nobleman, and it was his decision to go into a far country because he was going to receive for himself a kingdom, and then he was going to return. And oh my, again, I know he was talking about himself. Oh, that one that ascended into the heaven, who was, you know, his work on earth was near completion at the moment. But yet, you know, there was this fact that, oh my, he was going to come back and receive his kingdom. Oh yes, there was going to be that day when it was all going to be over. And oh yes, he would gather his children together, his elect, his servants, those that served him. Praise the Lord. And of course, you know, he called those 10 servants, his 10 servants, and he gave each of them a pound. And interestingly, originally a pound was a pound weight of silver. So, you know, we could think of that, you know, as each of them having this pound of silver being given to them. And they were also given the instructions, occupy till I come. Oh, praise the Lord. So they had an assignment. They were given a pound, and obviously it was with the expectation that they would take that pound and they would invest it somehow and see how much they could gain by their investment while the nobleman was away. And on the other hand, the citizens, that the ones that were under him, sent him a message, and you know, it was after him that declared, we're not going to have this man reign over us. Now, I believe this is referring to the rejection of Jesus' own people, those that crucified him. Oh, yes, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But, oh my, those that were faithful, the 10 servants, you know, were given their assignment, and they were told, use this which I have given you. Now, let's just apply that. Oh, yes, here we know that our Lord was taken up into heaven. And, oh, yes, we know that those that watched him as he went into heaven were told that that same Jesus, which was taken up from them into heaven, would so come in like manner as they had watched him or seen him go into heaven. So it tells us in the first chapter of the book of Acts. Amen. But in the meantime, we know just following that time, they were told to tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. Because he had told them also in that first chapter of the book of Acts that they would receive power after that the Holy Ghost was come upon them. And they would be witnesses unto the Lord, unto me, he said, both in Jerusalem and in all Samaria, or in all Judea, rather, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Oh, my, they were given an assignment. He sent back the Holy Ghost, yes, so that they would have the power, that they would have the means to evangelize the world, or whatever part of the world the assignment would pertain. So, praise the Lord, he gave them power. You know, he knew it would take something great in order for this to be accomplished. But praise the Lord, he always knows how to meet the needs of his people. And he wasn't going to leave them without power, without authority, without the means. No, he sent back the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ, he sent it back. That enablement so that they could be witnesses unto God, unto me, he said, both Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Yes, the glorious gospel that would spread and be preached in all parts of the earth before his return, all parts of the assignment. So praise the Lord, yes, he sent his 10 servants out here in the book of Luke 19. And yes, he gave them each a pound. And he told them, occupy till I come. Oh, yes, do the work that is needed. Keep going. You know, fill in for me. I'm not going to be here. But, oh, my, this is your assignment. And of course, there were those that hated him and would not have him rule over them. But oh my, so it was a period of time. And they worked. He did what was told them and obeyed this command to occupy till he came back. You know, went forward and did what they could do, each with their own abilities, with whatever means that they knew personally to go about and invest, to make something happen, to do a work, to accomplish something for the kingdom that was coming forth. Praise the Lord, to do their part. And believe me, yes, our Lord Jesus is coming back. Oh, he's coming back and he's going to receive his people. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, when he did return here in this parable, after he did receive the kingdom, it was time for accounting to see what had been accomplished. So praise the Lord. The first came and said that his pound had gained 10 pounds. Of course, he was commended for that, and he was given authority over 10 cities. And we're told in verse 18, the second came and said, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And again, he was commended for that. And he was given authority over 5 cities. But then there came another one. And oh my, well, Lord, here's your pound. Just can't lose it, huh? But you know, he didn't invest. He didn't use what had been given him. He took that pound and he just, you know, folded up. He folded it up in a napkin and laid it aside. And, you know, at least I won't lose it. I'll just keep track of it best I can. And you know, that way it won't get lost, I guess. No, I believe he was afraid of failure. So he didn't do anything at all. And, you know, here it is. It's accounting time. And what can he say? Oh, he has to make up some kind of excuse. He has to say something, you know. Here he is, the Lord, now, back there, asking, how did you invest? How did you use that time that I gave you? How did you use that pound? You know, what did you do with your life? Well, this man just said, here it is, thy pound. I kept it, I laid it up in a napkin, and then, you know, verse 21, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. Oh, well, I'll tell you, the master was not impressed by any means. Verse 22, it tells us, and he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. Of course, he told him, those that stood by to give that pound to the one that had 10 pounds. And so it was because verse 26 explains that unto every one that hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. And then, oh yes, there was the judgment of those enemies that would not have him rule over them. They were told to come forth, to be brought forth and be slain before his very eyes. I believe this tells us what our God expects here. I believe this also is the order of events. Our Lord, who came to this earth and he began his kingdom, he began to teach the things of the kingdom of God, the things of the kingdom of heaven, to those that would gather around him. But we know that time came when he left this world, praise the Lord. But he gave assignments, like we read in Acts 1:8. He gave power to his children so that they could go forth and do a work, each according to their several abilities, you would say. Each given a pound, in this case, representing what God has given us, his Spirit, and yes, with the command to occupy till he came, to do a work, to go forward, to fill in the blanks, whatever would fit, you know, our ability to go forth and do. And so, yes, he came, told them he was going to return when he was leaving, and then he gave assignments. And he gave them the means by which they could invest and do something in the interim while he was gone. Then, of course, the event when he came back. And then we notice after he comes back that it is accounting time. It's time for them to give an account of what they have done on the earth while he was away. And of course, we know that it was very sad for those that had not used that which God had given. Those that were afraid, those that hid their talent in the earth or laid it up in a napkin, as it is told here in Luke 19. And of course, for those that absolutely refused to have him rule and reign over them, oh my, they were slain. They were put to death. I believe Jesus Christ in this parable is telling us, yes, the order of events that will follow. He's also telling us his expectations. Oh yes, you know, he's told us that, you know, he's going to come back. And oh yes, he has told us, you know, that our hearts should not be troubled. We believe in God. Believe also in me, he said. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Yes, praise the Lord. So we have that promise. And we know that, yes, one of these days, our Lord is going to come back to this world. He's going to come and not tarry. And then we see, oh yes, that order of events. And oh yes, it's accounting time. And oh yes, we have to give an account of the deeds that we have done in our flesh. Oh my, and how we want to have a good report. I believe there is an emphasis on the need to take that which the Lord has given us. We all have different abilities and different means of going forth, but whatever it is that our assignment is, we want to fulfill it. We want to invest into the kingdom of God with the very best of our ability, so that, oh yes, when he comes back, we'll have something to show him. We'll have something to give him back. Oh yes. Oh, how wonderful it must have felt, you know. And they didn't know when he was going to return. So they had to continue to be busy, to occupy until he came, you know, to keep on going. And it must have felt good to that one who, you know, was able to stand there and show those 10 pounds that his pound had gained. It must have been good for the second one who came and, you know, was able to show that his pound had gained 5 pounds. But oh my, he wasn't happy at all for that one who hadn't invested at all and could only show his same pound that he had laid up, snuggled in a napkin, you could say, but did nothing with it. Oh, Lord, help us to invest in the kingdom of God. But we see when he came back, it was accounting time. And it was judgment time. Oh, yes, those that had refused to have him rule over them. Oh, yes, they were judged. It was that time. And I believe all these points together work to tell us the order of events with our Lord's return. Oh yes, he is gone to prepare a place for them that love him. Praise the Lord. And yes, he has promised he's going to come back and receive us unto himself. But praise the Lord, he's also given us an assignment and that need to occupy until he comes to use that which he has given us. We don't know the day or the hour when he's coming back, but we know he is coming back. And oh, how we want to have something to give him in return. Oh, yes, we want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a little. Oh, yes. But enter into the joys. Oh, enter into the joys of my kingdom. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord hath prepared for his people a city. Yes, oh yes, that city where the Lamb is the light. And oh yes, that hope that we have deep down inside. That oh yes, we're going to rule and reign with him for all eternity, if we are faithful, praise the Lord. Oh yes, if we have occupied until he comes, if we have obeyed his expectations of his children, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's now go to Revelation 20 and see just how the Lord will lead. I know I didn't get too far last week. We kind of did an overview somewhat the week before, but let's just see just how the Lord might lead us right now. Revelation chapter 20, praise the Lord. Now I'll read the first two verses. They say, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Okay, and we know that 1,000 in the Greek is kilioi. That is the Greek word for 1,000. And we know that it represents a period of time, but it's a time of uncertainty. We can't, tell what it definitely indicates. But I do believe that it is talking about this dispensation of grace, this time period since Jesus left this earth, gave assignments to his people, and yes, went, in the interim, to prepare a place for them that love him, praise the Lord, and all of that is happening, but in the meantime, Satan, as it tells us here, and I believe this is figurative language, that he was bound 1,000 years during this period of time. And we've gone through this before, but I believe this indicates that the devil, who is definitely that dragon, that's very clear, that old serpent, he's the devil, he's Satan, they all indicate the same. He is restricted. And yes, praise the Lord. The Lord gave his church authority and power. And yes, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Praise the Lord. He gave us authority to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and upon all the power of the enemy, knowing that nothing shall by any means hurt us. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord he has given us that privilege, that power, and the devil is restricted. We can resist the devil and know that he will flee. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, yes, there's this figurative language, and it tells us in verse 3, "And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season." So here we've talked about this quite a bit too. So, okay, I truly believe that that term "deceive the nations no more" indicates that this plan, because the devil has had this plan forever, it seems like, he wanted to outwit God. He wants his own kingdom. He wants his own people. And he's been working recklessly, continuously, with a great determination, you could even say, to bring it about. In fact, as I was thinking today, I was thinking of the temptation of Jesus. And interestingly, we just turn to the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew here for a moment. As Jesus had been led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and he had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he hungered, it tells us, and Matthew, the fourth chapter, verses 1 and 2. And then we know that it tells us in verse 3 that the tempter, the devil, came to him. He said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And praise the Lord. Oh, Jesus did not give in to that temptation. Oh, my, we've talked about this scripture in the past. But, oh, my, Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. And, oh, my, what I do understand, the Lord gives the strength, for a period of time when you're in a lengthy fast. And hunger leaves for a period of time, but when hunger returns, you're at the point of starvation and you need to eat. And I'm guessing Jesus had flesh. He was a man and he fasted these many days. And you know, here it is. It says he hungered. Obviously he was very hungry, and you know, Satan knew that weakness at the moment and came and tempted him and told him, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But praise the Lord, Jesus knew, oh yes, oh, that he could not give in to such a thought at all. But he answered in verse 4 and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And then it tells us, verse 5, the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Oh my, the devil is quoting scripture. Oh, Psalms 91, I believe. Oh my, and you know, if you didn't know, you could have been deceived. You could have been fooled, you know. That was the old devil tempting him. And thank the Lord, Jesus said unto him in verse 7, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then look at this last one here. Verse 8, it says, again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Oh my, you know, here it is. Satan again at his game, you know, he wanted the kingdoms of this world. You know, he wants to be king. He wants to have his own kingdom. And so here, you know, trying to tempt Jesus at his very weakest moment, telling him, oh yes, yes, you know, they were viewing all the kingdoms of this world and the glory of it. And oh yes, such a temptation, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. But praise the Lord, see, that was the devil's big goal, that was his big one. Oh my, Jesus would have just given in and fell down and worshiped him, oh my. But thank God, oh, Jesus resisted him. Oh, Jesus said, and this is a pattern, we're all tempted. We need to consider how Jesus was able to have power over the devil. Tells us in verse 10, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Praise the Lord. But praise the Lord, you see the devil with that goal. He wanted, you know, his kingdom. And oh, I see it as this time, you know, that we're living in right now. We just see how there are people that obviously are under the influence of the devil. It seems like the devil's goal is also their goal, to put together one world. Oh yes, a big kingdom. Oh yes, where man would have the control and man would rule and reign. I believe that has been the devil's big objective. But oh my, he was restricted, praise the Lord. He was restricted since Calvary. Praise the Lord that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And now, interestingly, we are seeing this coming to pass, that at least there is this attempt. And it calls to mind the question, Has the devil been loosed a little season? Is he going forth to gain that kingdom, and you know, that he has so desired? Is he trying to put forth his millennium? May I ask? Oh my, let's look some other places here in Revelation. Let's look at Revelation chapter 16. Praise the Lord. And here in this 16th chapter, we have vials being poured out. And of course, there's seven. And it's so interesting, when we get to the seventh, we know it is done. It is completed. Oh my, it's over. Praise the Lord. But let's just look at some of this here. If we look at verse 12 here. Well, I don't know. Maybe I better back up a little bit. I might not get back here. Let's just start here from the first. Praise the Lord. Revelation 16, verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the man which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. This is very interesting. Well, there's a lot of questions to ask with what we've already seen. And it's so interesting. It's very hard to bear, frankly. But oh my, we're seeing things like we've never seen before. And I know that some that have taken that vaccine, noticed that there was a big welt that developed on their arm or someplace on their skin. And, you know, honestly, I'm not saying it's the mark of the beast, but oh my, something is in the making. Something is going on in this world that we live right now. Oh my, there's a lot of questions to ask, but, you know, we've got to be focused on God's word. We've got to have these things in our heart because, you know, the understanding will come as these things are being fulfilled. Verse 3, and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Oh, our God has witnessed every detail, oh, everything that has ever been done. He has seen all the evil, and that blood that bears witness, the blood of the saints, the blood of the prophets, the blood of the innocent ones, oh my, the blood that has been shed. But oh yes, that day is going to come when it's all going to be overturned. And the one who witnessed every single detail is going to bring forth judgment. And yes, the declaration, for they are worthy. That's right. Verse 7 goes on to tell us, and I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. Oh my, all of this is happening. God's judgment coming forth. And yet we note that, oh, those that could obtain mercy if they would just repent, bow the knee, repent not to give God glory. Then it tells us in verse 10, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. We're just beginning to see things, folks. We've already witnessed a year that was unprecedented and so much that, oh my, it was unbelievable. And I'm sure we're still trying to, figure out what happened. But oh my, I believe we're in the book of Revelation. Oh yes, and then it tells us in verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. And the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And all this is interesting too, that division point between east and west, the great river Euphrates. And oh, somehow it, I believe this would be possibly figurative, because the way is prepared for the kings of the east to go forth and do their dirty work. And all this coincides with the sixth trumpet also. But anyway, let's read verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Oh, yes, and I believe that's talking about, yes, this thing where, oh, yes, this deception, this trying to put forth this one world kingdom that the devil has wanted for so long. And here it is, the spirits of devils going forth and even working miracles. Oh, yes, very deceptive, very cunning in their methods here, going forth to deceive, obviously, the kings of this earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. All that gathering together. Oh my, we've already seen, the formation of the United Nations, somewhat of a one world representation where they're, trying to come together as a unit. And now, oh my, so much beyond that. Of course, the UN still exists at this very moment, but oh my, there's this goal. This push, this shove to bring about the one world. But oh, let's listen to verse 15, because oh boy, in the midst of this, there's a people. Oh yes, a people of God. And oh my, we need to be warned. It tells us in verse 15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Oh my, and that might even be figurative, but I believe this is talking about this deception, that the devil is bringing about to cause the nations of the world to come together in anticipation of forming one unit. All together, there would be 10 parts if you look at the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation. I'm thinking, but it all comes together under this beast government. And oh my, all of this. And we note, after this, these three unclean spirits coming forth, this deception and bringing them together, these spirits of devil working these miracles, going forth into the kings of the earth, the whole world, to gather them together, this mentality, this one world, all the things that they, put together, their UN charter, their goal for one world, and oh boy, all the mandates under that. Yes, I think we better take heed, because the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to return again. He's going to come again. And it says, I come as a thief. Well, we know he's going to come unannounced. He's going to come quickly. So many are not going to be watching for him. So many will have given up and will not be expecting him. They'll be going about their own things, doing what they want to do in their hearts, and unaware that suddenly the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is going to come upon this earth. He's going to come as a thief in the night. And oh my, it says, blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. No, we must be clothed, oh, with that garment of God's righteousness. We must be clothed with his Spirit. Oh, if this is no time to diddy dally, this is no time to put off the things that are most important. Oh my, this is no time to say my Lord delayeth his coming, because he's going to come. He's going to come as a thief in the night. And oh, we know how that story all works together. Oh yes, as he comes forth, and oh yes, his judgments, you know, and all at once we see, oh, the heavens passing away with a great noise, and the elements melting with fervent heat, the earth also and all the works that are therein being burnt up. Oh my, as our Lord returns to this earth. Praise the Lord. That's the day of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And we know that promise of his return. It tells us in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, God's great desire that, oh yes, there would be none that would be condemned to the lake of fire. Oh yes, his arm. Oh yes, oh, his held out in mercy to, oh yes, bring forth whoever would be willing to heed the gospel call, to come in repentance. Oh yes, to turn from one's wicked, evil ways. Oh yes, that day of accounting is so at hand. And it's soon going to be that he that will come shall come and will not tarry. As Jesus told us in Mark, the 4th chapter, here it tells us in Mark 4, verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. There is that moment when the harvest is full. It's come to the full. The people of the Lord have been gathered together. And oh, my. It's that moment when this earth is going to be reaped. And oh, just as, you know, he symbolically indicated it here in the book of Mark, that 4th chapter, it's as if, you know, you put seed into the earth, of course, first, you know, and you know, you see it shooting forth. First the blade, and then the ear on the blade, and then finally the full corn in the ear. But what is told us is that when that fruit comes forth, immediately the man of the harvest puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Oh, that day of fulfillment is come, and oh, the earth is reaped at that moment. Yes, because it's over. It's time. He's going to come. He's going to come and not tarry. He's going to gather his children together. Praise the Lord. And forever we are going to be with the Lord. But oh my, It will also be a counting day. It will be time, yes, that we stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and give an account of the life that we have lived. As it tells us in James, the 5th chapter, also along this line, verse 7 here in James chapter 5. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Oh, that day of his coming, oh, that great and wonderful day for those that are prepared. But it is also called the great and terrible day of the Lord. Because, yes, he's going to come suddenly. He's going to come as a thief in the night. For those that have invested, for those that have occupied until he came, to those that were faithful, it will be a day of reward. Praise the Lord. But to those that neglected to go forth and do God's will, it will be a day of shame. And for those that totally rejected him and scorned him and, put him to shame, oh my, it will be to their shame at that moment when he comes forth to judge this world in righteousness. You see how this all takes place. Oh yes, we've been given this little time. Oh yes. And yes, praise the Lord. I'm glad the devil is restricted right now. I'm so glad he's given authority and power to his church so that we can go forth. But oh my, there's a time of our Lord's return. And yes, we don't know the day of his hour or the hour of his coming, but oh, we do know that he is coming. Amen. He is going to come. Amen. And not tarry. Amen. Oh, yes. So, yes. It all works together. As is put forth. And if we go back to the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, verse 4. It tells us in verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. I believe this is not just indicating those that are faithful at this end period. I believe this is talking about the whole family of God. I believe this is talking about his children, those that are in Christ Jesus, who have been born again of the water and of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It tells us in Revelation chapter 2, verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. I believe, yes, those, oh yes, that are with the Lord are all those that have been faithful unto death. Oh, yes, and we know there in that second chapter of the book of Revelation, that church of Smyrna was being addressed. And that church of Smyrna was going through some hard times. They were a persecuted people. And let's just consider here for a moment what is said here in Revelation 2, verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Praise the Lord. I believe this portion here in Revelation 20 is talking about those that have overcome all by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony and love not their lives unto the death, as it tells us in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. Those that have been faithful unto death, as it is referred to in the second chapter of the book of Revelation. Those that have overcome. And as verse 11 says here in Revelation 2, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And this is interesting because, oh my, he tells us here in Revelation 20, but the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. And he's talking about those that are in Christ. Those that have been born again of the water and of the Spirit. Those that have overcome the world. Amen. That is likened unto the first resurrection. When we're buried in the waters of baptism, it's compared to a burial with the Lord Jesus Christ. We come up out of that water, rising to walk in newness of life. Oh yes. Oh yes, with the promise of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, if it doesn't happen even right there in the water. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, that compares to the first resurrection. He says in verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, the dead in Christ. Oh, and Paul had written 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Praise the Lord. We know that, I believe I went the other Wednesday night a couple weeks ago. I believe that was there in the book of Revelation. We went to that place where it talked about those that were in Christ. The 6th chapter, I believe, where it indicates those that were there with the Lord while this is all being fulfilled. Yes, Revelation 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the 5th seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? See, there's that waiting period. Oh, it hasn't yet been done, but there's that cry. There's that moment because that day of God's vengeance is forthcoming. And yes, that need for him to avenge those. Oh, yes, that have all been killed and been persecuted by those that hate the Lord Jesus. It tells us in verse 11, and white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, unto their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Oh my, so we've got all of that. There's the dead in Christ. And I believe those that are with the Lord at this moment, that is what is meant by the first resurrection, those that have gone on, those that have overcome the world, the flesh, the devil, that are ruling and reigning with God in this period of time, this dispensation of grace, waiting for the fulfillment of all things. When, oh yes, the kingdom of our God becomes complete, the kingdom, of our Christ. You know, it's all going to be fulfilled. And there is that waiting for this event during this period of time. But it says, again, in verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. It says in verse 7, and when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations. See, we see that terminology again. This is that description of him now being allowed to go forth to deceive the nations, to, in that attempt to bring forth the one world kingdom. Oh, that thing that he's all about. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. All these things coming to pass. Oh, yes, as we're seeing the end of time, all of these things being fulfilled before our very eyes. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So, obviously, there's a moment where the enemies of God have gathered together. And oh, I believe this, you know, this Gog and this Magog, it's describing the driving force behind this movement to gather the nations together, to bring them to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. All those, oh yes, the devil is able to bring together as his force, as his, you know, as his army, so to speak, to come forth to do this act, to come against God in reality. And yes, I believe verse 9 represents that way he's going to try to take over. But oh, praise the Lord, we see that there is victory in Jesus. Tells us that fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. See how this all ends up in all my so many places I'd love to go that describe all of this coming together. The prophets of old foretold so very much of these events. But it tells us in verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I praise the Lord. Oh, as all this will come to pass, I believe we're near the end. Oh, that second death. Oh, yes, but praise the Lord. We know that we have been told that those that are in the first resurrection, oh, that death, that second death will have no power over them. Oh, it is so wonderful to have our life wrought in Christ. It's so wonderful that we can put our affairs into the hands of God. And oh, we can be forgiven of our sins, of our trespasses. We can make all our hearts right, oh, by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, not of our own works, but of His willingness, of His love for us. Praise the Lord. And oh, thank the Lord. Those that overcome, as it tells us in Revelation 2, shall not be hurt of the second death. Oh, praise the Lord. God has given us what we need so that we can overcome this world. We're pilgrims, we're strangers, we're seeing things that are dreadful coming upon the face of the earth. But we know that there is a God in heaven who will never leave us or never forsake us. And oh yes, his reassurance is, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Oh, praise the Lord. He's not going to abandon us. He's not going to forsake us. He's not going to leave us stranded. He's going to be with us until the very last moment. And praise the Lord, it's going to be a wonderful thing to be accounted worthy. Oh, yes, and to be given that crown of righteousness. Oh, that our faithful God has promised to those that love him and love his appearing. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm just so thankful for what God has done. His wonderful ways, praise the Lord. The power of the deliverance that he's given his people. Praise our wonderful God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, God, I just pray, oh, Lord, that you would help us, Lord. Oh, God, to be faithful servants. Oh, God, to work with you with all our heart. Oh, God, to go forth and do that which you have commissioned us to do, Lord. Oh, God, that we could be accounted worthy, Lord, that we could be accounted faithful. We could stand before thee, Lord, and not be partakers of the second death. Oh, God, I pray this in Jesus' name. I pray that you talk to us and help us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Amen.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to open our melodies of praise hymnals to number 148 and sing When the Battle's Over, 148.
We should wear a crown, yes, we should. Thank you.